good to everyone out today. Hope you had a good week. Have Thine Own Way is kind of a, I guess, an unusual song that you might have before the lesson. It's I like to use it either for before a prayer or maybe for an invitation type song. But there is a little bit of a method in my madness here. If you're going to follow along this morning, our text is going to come from Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, the first 6 verses. In there, Jeremiah talks about a potter. So, that song seems a little more appropriate now. In the Reader's Digest one time, someone had wrote this in. They said, a friend of mine awoke one morning to find a puddle of water in the middle of his king-sized bed. In order to fix the puncture, he rolled the heavy mattress outdoors and filled it with more water so he could locate the leak more easily. The enormous bag of water was impossible to control and began rolling down the hill. He tried to hold it back, but it headed downhill and landed in a clump of bushes that poked it full of holes. Disgusted, my friend threw out the waterbed frame and moved the standard bed into his room. The next morning he awoke to find a puddle of water in the middle of his new bed. The upstairs bathroom had a leaky drain. You know, life is some way is like that sometimes. In Jeremiah's time, the people of God found themselves in a bad situation. They were a nation that had thrown away God, gotten rid of Him. Chaos ruled throughout the land. Corruption was widespread in Jerusalem. Morality was declining rapidly. The people were infected with evil. You know, it doesn't sound too different from today. So maybe we're looking at a snapshot of ourselves. But this is what God told Jeremiah, and He told him to write these words down. In Jeremiah 18:1, the word which came to Jehovah, to Jeremiah from Jehovah, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Verse 3, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he was making a work on the wheel. And when the vessel he had made of the clay was marred in the hand of the potter, he made it again. He made again another vessel, and it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the words of Jehovah came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, says Jehovah? Behold, as the clay in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. You know, the lessons God teaches us from real life, Jesus taught by the parable. Paul taught with stories also. Here, God brings Jeremiah to this potter who is making that. And we've all seen potters and, you know, how delicately they draw up this bowl or vase or whatever they're making. But if it gets marred and, you know, starts spinning and goes crazy on them, they just take that lump of clay and pound it back down and they start over. God was giving them a warning there that He can start over. You know, people in their arrogance today, they say it's not fair that God judges. But God is just, and He is perfect. And if we believe that God created this world and this universe, then He can do with it as He will. That's important for people to know. They say fear is the beginning of understanding. Now, they weren't talking about abject fear. They were talking about a healthy respect of God and what He is and what He can do. You know, a faithful person is willing to be molded by God. Let's say that again. A faithful person is willing to be molded by God. In other words, that clay has no mind of its own when it's on that potter's wheel. It can't say, I want to be this today. It can't say, I want to be that today. It can't say anything. But the potter's hand, and the potter's mind, and the potter's skill makes it into whatever it'll be. And if that potter's not satisfied, he starts over, or she starts over. You know, self-determination is one of those things our society prides itself on. I do my own thing. I'm my own man, or my own woman. I don't need anybody. I was self-made. I didn't inherit my money. I made my money. Things like that. People take pride in that. The ability to decide one's own fate. It's easy now to go and retrain yourself or do anything like that more than it was in the past. Years past, only the rich could afford to send their children to school. It was very difficult for a poor person. Now, if you want to get there, if you want to work hard, it can happen. So it's easier now in the society that we have to say that we can do whatever we want to. We wanted to go to the moon. We went to the moon. We want to go back to the moon. I'm sure we'll probably do that too. We want to go to Mars. We'll probably do that too. But that's our society. The self-made man has been and always been the rage of society and big business. But this is an illusion. In the real scheme of things, we are only as valuable as we allow God to make us. You know, there are some things that have no value that a potter can make. If a potter makes an ashtray and you don't smoke or have anybody who smokes and visits you or anything like that, it's worthless. You wouldn't pay anything for it. But if you need a pitcher to hold water, then that potter's skills become very valuable. Nowadays, we don't think of pottery too much in those terms. We have our plastics and other things. But in that day and age, that potter was very valuable. Kind of like a blacksmith in the 1800s who did almost magical things with iron. To make plows to turn to dirt, to make shoes for the horses, and all the other things that they did to make blades and axes and things like that that we use. So it's not as valuable as it was in times past. But we can learn from their example how valuable it was to them. You know, the talents and abilities we possess, they're not of our own volition. We didn't create these talents. A great athlete, you know, had to be born with the right muscles and legs and body build and whatever sport they went into. But they had to be born that way. They had to have those abilities. I've known very big people who were so uncoordinated, there was no way they were going to do anything in sports. And yet some smaller people have excelled in sports, which is traditionally for larger people, because of their heart and their determination. But that's talents that we've all been given by God, that we've been born with, that we exploit. We are nothing more than clay molded into the shape that we take in our master's hands. But the clay vessels that we are, that everyone is in this whole world, can be reshaped. In other words, we're not fired yet. We're not glazed. Our vessels don't take their complete shape, don't get solidified and hardened until judgment. And God can work on me, He can work on you, and He can work on everyone else out there. He can change them and make them what they want to be and what He wants them to be. Now, God obviously could make anybody into be anything He wants. But, unlike the clay, we have to want it. We have to seek it. The Lord said to Jeremiah and to the nation of Israel, "Can I not do with you as this potter? Look at the clay in the potter's hand. So are you in my hand." Now, I don't know about you, but it's kind of frightening to know that it's all up to God. That He created everything. And He can create or destroy us because we sin. Because we reject Him. Because we turn away from Him. And yet, if we'll let God work with us, He'll trim us up into the most beautiful vase you've ever seen that people will look to and admire and respect. We can stand tall in stature in the Word of God, but it's only through God that this happens. Let's look at some other verses that deal with that same subject. In Isaiah 64:8, and in verse 8 of 64, "But now, O Jehovah, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter, and we all are the work of thy hand." Isaiah understood that very fact, that it was all in God's hand. That whole world that we have here, that whole universe, is in God's hand. Could we create the universe? Could anybody create that? God did. He created it as easily as a talented potter would create something in a few minutes that's beautiful. God created that. I'm not in control, and we're not in control. Look how many athletes whose career was ended because of an accident. Something that hurt a joint or their knees or whatever. And they could no longer compete at that level they used to. The astronaut Alan Shepard took a fall in his bathtub. Couldn't go on space flights. Talented, skilled, proven in war. He was going to be an astronaut just like all the rest of them. He eventually did go into space, but that was years later whenever they determined that man could, you know, didn't have to have the rigorous training and stuff that they had to have back then. But we don't know when all our hopes and dreams and what we do in life are going to be cut short by accident, illness, or anything out there. Many a rich man sitting on top of the world has gone broke and destitute. Many people almost penniless and broke. You know, probably some of us have heard of Nikola Tesla. You know, we have electricity because of him. We have many things because of him that he either directly invented or proposed at some time. Brilliant man. But in the end, he had just a little apartment that he lived in. Everything that he invented, alternating current, the radio, everyone attributes Marconi with that. In recent times, it's been attributed to Nikola Tesla, because all the patents that Marconi used in the radio were Nikola Tesla's patents. So here's a famous man who's probably mostly obscure to most people. Unless you've dealt with electronics, electricity or something, then you've probably heard of him. But we owe so much to his talent. But it never amounted to riches, even though he wanted that, because of things that just got in the way. You know, God's in control of that, not you or I. He says if you invent a better mousetrap, the world will be to pass through your door. But that doesn't mean a whole lot. I think it was Fulton who invented the steam engine. Every blacksmith, remember I talked about them, how talented they were? They were out there making tons of those things. He lost all his money trying to sue them to get them to honor the patent. You know, you can take somebody to court, you can go in there and you can win, but that doesn't mean that if you got a judgment against them that you're going to get paid. So even the cotton gin, same situation there. Eli Whitney, he had to take all these blacksmiths to court, just trying to get his money, just trying to get a piece of what he had invented, and it didn't work out that way. He wound up very poor at the end. Philippians 4:13 tells us, "I can do all things in him that strengthens me." Listen to the power of conviction that Paul uses here. I can do all things in him that strengthens me. You think Paul was thinking of that potter? You think he was thinking about what God could make him? We think, I can't do that. I'm not that way. I'm not that talented. I can't do this. I can't do that. You don't know what God can help you to make you do. You don't know what he can cause to happen in your life. Or Philippians 2:13. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God didn't set us out on the impossible task. He set us out on a possible task. That if we're willing to strive and work and we're willing to let him mold us, we can be. But we have to be willing. 2 Corinthians 4:1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, even as we obtain mercy, we faint not. Think of this. Obtain mercy, faint not. They were not going to be put down by anything. They were not going to be intimidated. They were not going to be shrunken in any kind of way. Because the potter molded them into something that could do his job. And God can mold us. 2 Corinthians 4:2. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled in them that perish. It's not hidden from anybody. The only people that it's hidden from are those who perish. Those who don't want to accept it. Those who hide it and squash it and don't follow it. They stay a lump of clay. They have no use. Because they won't allow God to shape them. They won't allow God to be their master. To shape them into something that is beautiful, that is useful, and take their place in the kingdom of God. In verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should not dawn upon them. If you don't want to see the message of God, you're not going to see it. To those who are perishing, it's foolishness. But to those that live in God, it's everything. And every day, do we live our lives molded like God wants us to? Or come Monday, do we unmold ourselves into something different? Every day, we should be molded into what God wants us to. Every day, we should be pliable to what God wants us to be. Open, listening, talking to God. 2 Corinthians 4:5. For we preach not ourselves, but of Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6. Seeing it is God that said, light shall shine out of darkness. Who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power of God, that the power may be of God, and not from ourselves. Paul made no claim of his power. He made no claim of his talents. He made no claim of what he did, but gave it all to God. All the glory to God. When you can empty yourself of your pride, of our arrogance, when we know that only by the grace of God we go, then we can let God begin to mold. You know, that potter, that clay's too hard, he can't do anything with it, or she can't do anything with it, but with the right water consistency, it becomes pliable. But you don't want it too pliable, otherwise it's too mushy and it doesn't hold up. But you need the right consistency so that it can be shaped and yet hold its form. If we let God mold us into what he wants us to be, here in our community, we can be successful. A teacher was giving a lesson on the circulation of the blood. Trying to make the matter clearer, he said, "Now, students, if I stood on my head, the blood, as you know, would run into it, and I should turn red in the face." "Yes, sir," all the boys said in the class. This is obviously a long time ago. "Then why is it that when I'm standing upright in the ordinary position, the blood doesn't run to my feet?" The little fellow shouted out, "It's because your feet ain't empty." So, we need to empty ourselves of God, but we're not empty-headed. You know, the world looks at that and says, well, they're just a bunch of foolish Christians. You know, they don't have anything upstairs, and they just follow Him, they just do anything, and they believe it. God designed it that way. He designed it in a certain way that people who truly believe in Him will follow Him because they have faith, because they believe, not because their head is empty and can hold a lot of blood if you turn them upside down, but that they believe in God, and while they don't fully understand everything that's in there, they do accept it, they believe it, and they follow it. Secondly, the faithful person lets God work on their flaws. You know, the guy who was never wrong? You know, he said, there was that one time that I thought I was wrong. And everyone tells that joke every once in a while. You know, every human life has its flaws. The only problem is some are unwilling to admit it. But it is the truth. We all have our flaws. Hopefully that's why we came to Christ. Hopefully that's why I accepted Him. We're not perfect. You know, the world out there says all them Christians think they're perfect. No. We just realize how imperfect we are and knew that we could not save ourselves apart from Jesus. Our lives are often broken by our own sins, mistakes, and regrets. We sometimes find ourselves shattered into little bits, like pottery shattered by the enemies. You know, God can, you know, take those. He doesn't throw them away. But He can remold them, make it pliable again and reshape it. And He can rebuild our lives over and over again, despite our stumbles. He can do that. God-given souls, some people just cast that away to live their own lives in this world. God gave us our lives, our souls, our talents, our everything. We owe it to Him to love Him back. You know, as Jeremiah stood watching the potter's work, he noticed something that God intended to impact him greatly. He wanted him to see that. The potter was shaping a vessel in his hands when it all collapsed on him. The shape didn't take in the clay. But notice what happened next. The potter repositioned it on that wheel. Maybe added a little water to make it more pliable. Maybe put in a little more clay if it was too wet. But he started over, and he remolded that. You know, being a Christian is starting over. Getting forgiveness for our sins is starting over. Each fresh day, not only Sunday, each fresh day we start over. And you know what? Each fresh day, we can get molded just a little bit more. Tomorrow, you can say, I'm going to not do this today. The next day we can say, I'm not going to do that. And each day we get a little bit better and a little bit better. We'll never be perfect, but we'll get a little bit closer. Each day I'm going to read a little bit more in my Bible. Each day I'm going to study some words I don't quite understand or some passages I don't understand. Each day we can grow as we grow into that beautiful vase. That useful vessel that God wants us to be. Again, God said to His people, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. We're in God's hand, whether they want to or not. Whether they're here in the church or whether they're out there in that world. They're in God's hand. And God is either going to find use for them or He's going to discard them. If they have no use for Him, He'll have no use for them. They need to turn away from their wicked ways and come to Him. And we need to grow. You know, never throw away your life over a flaw, a mistake, or a sin. Never allow yourself to be broken and remain that way. God can reshape the worst looking clay you've ever seen. He can heal you and put you back together again. But you know what? The clay has to be pliable. If the clay, like a hard heart, is hardened, there's nothing else He can do with you. But if you soften your heart and be that soft clay and allow God to come into your life, allow Him to take hold of it, not just a little bit, but with all your heart or your soul or your being, He will make you into a vessel for heaven. So useful. You won't be able to look at your old life and think, well, how could I ever have not believed that strongly? How could I have never have not read my Bible? How could I ever have not done the things that I do? Because being in Christ is such a joy in my life. Knowing that He saves me, and that together, as brothers and sisters, we come together and share in love and fellowship and song and all these things that we have, all the blessings we have, all that He gives us, and the eternity that He guarantees for us if we follow Him. Ought to make us leap for joy every minute of the day. I know it makes me happy. I know I think of it often. I know it is a central thing in my life, is that God loves me and that I love Him back. But knowing He can make me what He wants me to be, I'm not afraid of anything. But I march forth knowing that I will be able to do what He wants me to do, because He loves me. And He doesn't leave us out there. He doesn't tell us to do things that are impossible. He gives us to do the possible, because He's at the helm. He's at the wheel. And we will be what He wants us to be, if we'll allow it. I don't know what your condition is this morning, or what your needs of the church may be, or whatever they may be. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?